Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the 503 for the Fans podcast. This is Noah.
What up, guys? It's Sam.
What's going on, guys? It's Fulton.
And you guys are listening to episode 18. We're going to be breaking down game one earlier today at 12:30, and we'll be recapping the game, talk about multiple things throughout the game and what to expect for game two. So let's dive right into it. Blazers came on top 104-99. I mean, what a game. What's your initial thoughts on, just before we get started, what was your thoughts on the game, Sam?
Honestly, bro, that game gave me so much anxiety and stress. The first quarter we looked great, and then second, third quarter we looked a little limpish. But like I said, it was just stressful the entire game all throughout. How about you, Fulton?
Yeah, full of emotions for sure. I was up and down on my seat all night, all day, and we started off hot, and we had a little shaky second quarter, but we came back in the third quarter and really solidified.
Yeah, I mean, my initial thoughts were this game was nerve-wracking. You came into the game. There was a statement the first thing. Dame comes up, tip-off. I mean, OKC misses a shot. First possession of the game for Portland. He comes up from pretty much the logo, pulls up, sets the tone right away. I mean, we were all the game. We all jumped up and started saying, let's go.
Literally in the middle of the Moda Center sign. That was like a 38-foot three.
No, I mean, 30-footer. I mean, that was just ridiculous. What was your thoughts on that shot, Fulton?
Definitely a great way to start the series and the game. Insane. Just saying, hey, Paul George, take this one right to the mouth.
Like, I mean, yeah, that was really for all the OKC people out there saying, oh, OKC's going to get this in five. Or like, I mean, people, OKC fans were really all over Twitter, and they're saying this is going to be a cakewalk. And
honestly, they're so toxic. Like, OKC fans are some of the most toxic. I can't lie.
Oh, no, it's their top three most toxic. It's between them or the Lakers. I mean, Laker fans are pretty toxic, but
for sure.
Let's not bring up the Lakers because they don't deserve the mention. So. But anyways, this game was full of emotions. The Blazers really got improved in some areas, though. Turnovers, I mean, played a big part in this game not being a huge blowout.
Big time. Dame seemed to be a little nervous with the ball a little bit and a little hesitant. He did throw a lot of bad passes, but, I mean, he came through and scored points.
I mean, he hit the clutch shots left and right. So we'll get into stats right now. Dame had 30 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He shot 9 of 21 from the field, not as efficient, but 5 of 11 from 3-point land. I mean, the amount of shots he hit tonight really shut up his playoff haters.
For sure, and he hit them when they counted, for sure. Exactly. Like, big-time shots.
When Paul George hit that last shot to get them within one, I think, with, like, 2 minutes left,
exactly.
Dame came, just hit a big cojones shot. I mean, you got to have some cojones to shoot that shot in the playoffs.
For sure, that's just straight confidence in himself to be able to make that shot.
Yeah, and that's Dame time. He should have tapped the wrist there. I don't know if he did because I was jumping up in the air when he hit it. But what was your thoughts on that shot, Fulton?
Like you said, big cojones. Pulling that from, 10 feet behind the three-point line, it seemed like. But no, it was just the intensity of that game. Just the crowd got way back into it. You know, being a little down since seeing Paul George hit some shots was kind of shaky and scary for there for a second, but Dame hitting that really brought us back into it.
I mean, yeah, it got real scary there. We'll get into it in a little bit, but let's get into some more stats. CJ had 24 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Off shooting night for CJ, for hell of a first quarter for him. I mean, he had nine of 24 from the field. It looks like it's bad, but the first quarter he had, I don't know specifics, but I think it was 7 points or so. He's
super consistent in the first quarter.
He set the tone. He hit a couple threes. I mean, he really set the tone for the Blazers the first quarter. It sucked to see that go away in the second half. He was missing some floaters. But if the Blazers want to win, he's going to have to shoot a little better, obviously. Game two is going to be a very important game from CJ. And let's talk about the man of the night, the supposed MVP of the night called by Dame, Enes Kanter. I mean, read his stats for us, Fulton, or Sam. Yeah, Sam.
All right, so he had 20 points, 18 boards. He had, 7 offensive boards, 2 blocks, 8 for 15 shooting, and his plus-minus was 15. He, on Adams, personally, getting 18 boards, playing someone that big and with Adams' reach versus Enes's, he just showed out against him, and he definitely wanted to be in the game.
Yeah, you definitely can't, he's not the greatest on defense, we all know that, but you know, the heart he showed on the pick and roll side. He stayed down on his on the picks, and you know, he really won the offensive battle on the boards and even the defensive one too, because he was getting smothered by three or four Thunder every time.
I mean, you can't, if you're an opposing team, you can't allow someone to have seven offensive rebounds. That's killer. And that was one of the killers for OKC. And you love to see it on a team that really lost their belief in. I mean, OKC lost their belief in Ennis Cantor. I mean, people, I've said this on Twitter. Yes, Ennis doesn't have the best defense. People can act like he's the worst defender in the league, which is sure. I mean, he can be bottom half, sure. But this guy is trying. He wants to be a part of something special. He wants to prove himself. He had four blocks against a team like Detroit.
Exactly.
And that's a team that's Andre Drummond, who is a big man, who is a good center in this league. Like, Ennis Cantor is not a liability. I mean,
not at all.
It showed. I mean, the first couple possessions of the playoffs were kind of shaky for him. I mean, Adams kind of had his number for a good minute. But he really started to show, okay, I'm going to be here too. I mean, 20 points and 18 rebounds in a playoff game?
I mean, I think the way he was able to play tonight is because of his teammates' confidence in him, honestly. Because you can see that Dame has confidence in him and his ability to get down in the paint. And he can score and he can drive and he can hit the mid-range as well. So he did all of that tonight.
You just saw his energy. Like, he wants this. He wants to prove that, hey, OKC, you screwed up. It was me over Adams back then. I was playing my heart out, and you weren't giving me more minutes, and you weren't giving me the chances I deserved. And now he's proven that he just doubled Adams' rebound total tonight. Like,
exactly. I mean, if anyone told me a 20-point, 18-rebound game is unplayable, get out of here.
Yeah, I would never have predicted him to come out doing that in the first game, honestly.
No, I mean, I could see him going 20-10. That would be a good game, too. But 20-18, I mean, that's just a hell of a night from him. I mean, two blocks. He blocked Russ, and people say he can't play defense. I mean, I'll try to put the clip on Twitter. There's a clip where Billy Donovan literally says to his coach, "We can't play Cantor. I got to get Cantor out of there. He can't play." And it was a play where Patrick Beverly was going on a pick and roll with Clint Capella. They had I don't know who the point guard was, some scrub OKC, but they had him going over the screen on Pat Bev, forcing Cantor to show on the screen, and then it was an easy lob to Capella. And then that play is Billy Donovan saying to his assistant coach, "He can't play him." I'm just like, you don't know how to use him. I mean,
exactly.
Why would you go over the screen on Pat Beverly?
For real. And the way that Dame and CJ play with Cantor on the court, it's like they mesh so well.
You got to help him out. I mean, Mo and Aminu got to slide on the defensive side. They got to help him out, and that's what they did. I mean, Paul George and Russ weren't doing anything on the pick and roll.
Exactly, and especially with Mo and Aminu's size to switch. And I mean, Aminu just locked down PG, honestly.
I mean, yeah. What was your thoughts on Cantor's defense? Do you think it's going to be a liability throughout the series, or do you think it's going to improve more as he gets more run against Adams too?
Like Terry really did his, you know, searching on Ennis, and he really studied him, his game when he was at OKC. It looked like, because today he really showed how to stay down on the pick and rolls. He stood his ground on the block every time, you know, there would be a screen up top. He didn't overshow it, and you know, he really didn't get burned on a lot of pick and rolls. So I don't see him being a liability if this stays up, and they, you know, if we can cover their 3-point shot a little better, because Paul George did have some open looks. But other than that, we played really good defense down on the low block.
I mean, 99 points. I mean, I know OKC is not a great offensive team. They're more of a defensive team, and their defense creates a lot of their offense. But 99 points for them. Paul George, you contain him even on a night where he has 26. It's a silent we'll get into those stats right now. I mean, it was the most silent 26 I've ever seen from a player. I mean, was getting clowned all over Twitter. I mean, he's getting called his original name of Playoff P in a sarcastic tone. And 26 points off 10 rebounds, no assist, shot 8 of 24 from the field, 4 of 15 from three-point land. And what surprised me the most is this is a guy who literally came out and just said after post-game, he couldn't lift his shoulder 4 days ago. Why are you shooting 15 three-pointers in a playoff game?
That's what I was really surprised. Like, he literally just came out just chucking them up. And, I mean, of course he got a couple to come down, but he was literally just throwing them up with Aminu right in his face. Like,
yeah, it really showed with his jump shot that his shoulder was definitely hurting him, because it was off all first half, and he didn't get it going until late third. So, I mean, like, that injury is really showing, and the way we played on him in the first half needs to be the whole series.
I mean, exactly. And you got to set screens on him, and as much as you don't want people to get hurt, I mean, that's his – I mean, he's out there. He's putting himself out there. He's risking it. I mean, you're going to – this game's full of – pick and roll. So you're going to get hit with screens, Paul George, and they're going to take advantage of that. And I see, and that's why they don't put Paul George on Dame or CJ, because Dame and CJ pick and roll the hell out of everyone.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
So they keep him on Aminu or Mo because they're not going to pick and roll. So, but they force a switch, and then they put him in the pick and roll.
And then that makes it to where they don't have their best defender on our best guard, so...
Exactly. The number... Probably a contender to win the Defensive Player of the Year this year.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, and we'll talk about some other stats for OKC. Russ, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. I mean, 8 of 17 from the field, 0 of 4 from three-point land. It was a quiet night for Russ, too. And you say that because he didn't attempt a shot in the first quarter.
Exactly. And I mean, I wouldn't say it was quiet because he did have some of his on-court antics, like always, seemingly with the Blazers.
Yeah.
He always gets upset and his feathers get ruffled a little bit. but I don't know. It's always interesting watching Russ play us because he always seems to get upset at one point in the game.
Exactly.
It's always emotions with this guy, man. It's nonstop emotions with Russell Westbrook, 24/7. He can get, you know, he'll get your triple-double. Yeah, I called that before the game that he was going to get a triple-double. Big whoop. Okay, they didn't win the game. Next question.
Exactly. I mean, triple-double or win? Which way do you go? I mean, and... People that concern you in this series is someone like you could think on the top of your head before the series starts is Adams. I mean, he had 17 points, 9 rebounds, 8 of 14 from the field. He was the only reason why they were in that game.
Initially, like, the matchup with Cantor and Adams is scary, but the way Cantor played today, it showed that he can... Adams is still going to be able to reach over the top of him and get those dips in, but, like... Cantor can still move his feet and get down low with him, for sure.
He can be Ennis the Menace, and he can get rebounds and do what he does best. And like I was saying to Fallon before the game, all Cantor can do what you do great. Get rebounds great and perform great. Work your ass off. I mean, do all the things that are going to put yourself in a position to get a rebound, put it up and get us some boards and some points. I mean, that's what... Cantor has to worry about. If he worries about defense, he worries about himself in the defensive pick and roll. If he's too worried about that, and he starts thinking. I mean, that's where he gets in trouble. If he doubts himself, he's gonna get in trouble. But he's riding that confidence high, and I'm loving it. And Cantor's gonna play a big part on Adams this whole series. If Adams gets off, it's gonna be a big night for them.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a huge matchup the entire time. It's definitely gonna be something to watch.
And they're best of friends off the court. I mean, they're really good friends. So it's a great series. I don't think this game one solidifies anything for the Blazers. I think it's a great start. You end a 10-game playoff losing streak. You get out of this funk that we've been. Dame gains some confidence. Okay, this team could be legit. Yes, you look at it. Nurkic isn't there. Yes, whip-de-doo. But this path that they can take is still capable of getting to Western Conference Finals, which is so crazy to say.
Exactly. And I mean, with Cantor putting up 20 and 18, that's literally Nurkic's numbers. Like,
just some.
And then some on top of that. Like, I just can't imagine us having Nurkic and then having Cantor as well and him playing with this confidence. Like, I think it would be a huge difference and we would definitely come out on top. But without Nurkic, it's a little scary, and the matchup, like I said, with Adam, so we will see.
Yeah, and let's move on. These teams did not shoot well. Portland shot 42% from the field. The reason why Portland really won this game is because that start to the game. They were up 17. They were riding their confidence high. OKC battled back. Props to them for battling back. And we really went cold in the second and third quarter. And OKC shot 40%. They shot 5 of 33 from three-point land. That's 15%. That is, wow. You're not going to win a game in playoffs if you shoot like that. And you saw a lot of those nights when we played the Pelicans last year. and that happened. They didn't shoot well last year. This team has different spacers. I mean, you saw it. Even with guys with Rodney Hood only having one three on the night, he had a clutch three. It was in the first quarter. It was an over rotation by the OKC. They're really rotating to Dame. It was a quick kick out by Dame to Ennis, and then Ennis kicked it out to Rodney, and it was a three. And that's what's different between this team and last year. I mean, there was guys like Pat Connaughton who was, yes, he's doing good for the Bucks as we're watching them right now. He wasn't as consistent as Rodney Hood.
He doesn't even have his size as well, and I don't think he can defend as well as Rodney either.
Exactly. So OKC, they have a lot on their hands. This team is definitely a sleeper team. They're riding a lot of highs with Nurkic being out. I mean, they have a lot of confidence. Like, they're coming together, telling themselves, okay, we can do this. So you got to look at that. We'll move away from stats. Let's talk about this. Guys who didn't have a great impact for the Blazers. Zach Collins and Myers Leonard. What was your thoughts on their game so far?
I mean, the only thing that I liked about Myers' game was that he was setting really hard screens and he was getting back down low. Zach just wasn't consistent throughout the game at all, really, and he wasn't able. He doesn't have the ability to defend Adams because he doesn't have the weight on him. And, I mean, he has the height, but it's just Adams is too big.
Exactly. And he's more of a matchup for Noel.
Exactly.
But, like, it showed with Zach being alone with not Myers on the court, he really got just pummeled by New Orleans down low, and it really, they need both of them if they're both going to play. They need both on the court at the same time, or they're not going to produce anything, and we're just going to get beaten on the boards, and we're not going to have any low post presence.
Exactly, and there's no option. They have to play.
Yeah.
And this has to take some time off.
Yes.
You can't play full 48 as much as you wish you could. I mean, you have to have that healthy diet of balance, though, with NBA teams. If you come too complacent and have one guy out there the whole time, they're going to find out. NBA coaches are smart enough. I mean, Billy Donovan's a defensive mind. I mean, he has a defensive mind. He's not as good on offense, but he has a good defensive mind. So Myers and Zach really have to show up. I mean, Zach really showed his sophomore self. I mean, this guy's only 21. He would be a junior in college right now. He is performing. He's outperformed himself the past 2 years. I mean, he's had spurts where he's really showed his age, but he has to come in his own in this series. He has to have a game where he gets in Russ's head, maybe gets him a technical foul, maybe gets himself one. I don't know. I mean, Zach.
I would love to see him get scrappy and just get in somebody's head, like you said, for sure.
We just need more attitude from him and Myers. Like, when both of them are angry and pissed, we've seen, you know, they can hold on the ball, they can grab mean boards, they can push people around, and like you said, they can get in people's heads, especially Russell Westbrook.
Exactly. And you know Russ is a king of Mr. If I don't get my way, I'm going to throw a fit. And
he's the king of emotions on the court. Like,
it showed. I mean, literally today, literally earlier today in the game, I think it was a missed call. He didn't like the missed call. He wrapped his head. Oh, no. Seth Curry stole from him. He felt like it was a foul. He wrapped his arm around Seth Curry, pretty much slapped him in the face. Seth Curry ran up the court, and then he comes on Dame, bodies him once. Dame loses the ball a little bit, which is a foul. You can't thrust your chest into someone. Mm-hmm. And then dives and takes out Dame's knees. So you really see it with Russ. If he doesn't get his way, he's going to cry a little bit. And yes, if you're an OKC fan and you're listening to this, I mean, yes, Russ is a hell of a player, but you even yourself as an OKC fan know he cries way too much. And if you don't think that, you're just being too biased.
I would agree. Like, it's just about every game that he gets upset over little shit, and it's just, it's petty stuff, and I mean, that's not how you play professional ball.
No, and I'm not trying to hate on Russ because he is a good player. I mean, he had a triple-double tonight. As much as that is inflated, I feel just like how much he wants to get it. He's a great player, and I'm not going to take that away from him. We're scared of what Russ can do. I mean, he can really pull off of what W if he plays to his maximum potential.
Exactly. I mean, he can command a team for sure, but it's just,
He gets into his feelings way too much.
He can command a team by himself. He doesn't use his team that often, you know.
And with Russ, I don't know where the Blazers go next game. I think they try to make him more of a volume shooter. I mean, he shot 8 of 17, not bad. I mean, 50%, 50, yeah, about that, and 48% or something. Anyways. Yeah.
I liked that Dame was giving him a little bit room on the three line because he didn't convert any of those, and he's not the strongest three-point shooter. And I would think that after seeing that, I would like to keep up with that.
Exactly. And let's talk about this. PG's shoulder, it's a problem.
Definitely.
OKC fans should be worried. And I don't want to condone an injury on anyone because
no, it's not good.
The Blazers are literally the king of that this season. They lost their number two guy, arguably. And they lost a big part of their season with him going down, with Nurkic going down. So I can't – but PG's shoulder is a problem.
Yeah, if he's playing at – like he's probably at, what, 70 or 80% right now. They're not going to be able to do switches, and he's not going to be able to cover Dame, like you said, on the when he's doing the pick and rolls. So it just – it makes it – I don't know. It makes it a liability for them.
Exactly. And even Russ's tweaked ankle, he was hobbling half the fourth quarter with that. So you got to keep an eye on that. I mean, PG's shoulder, he couldn't even lift it up 4 days ago. I mean, what's your thoughts on PG? What do you think? Do you think he plays game two? I mean, obviously, I think he does. But what's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's definitely going to play game two and three. He's going to play the whole series unless, you know, it gets that much worse in a game where he lands on it or something like that. But you could just see it with all the tape that was on it. Both of the shoulders are definitely hurting him and definitely nagging him. And it showed with his 3-point shooting, 4 of 15. That's not Paul George in the regular season at all. He's definitely making way more shots, and he just, his shot looked way off. I don't know if it's going to be like that all series.
Didn't Paul George, I think, averaged 38 in the series versus us this season?
Yes.
Exactly. And this is what I was trying to tell OKC fans. You guys had a fortunate event where you guys played us three times within a month and a half. Paul George had probably his best play, like best month or two, like three in his entire career. He was shooting. I mean, everything he put up was wet.
That was before the break.
Exactly. He messed around, got his shoulder messed up. It's even if it's his left one, that still messes up. That's still mechanics, and
exactly,
it hurts him.
And I mean, even if he's playing every game, that means he's got to rest every day between those games, and that makes a player out of rhythm, and so it's going to be hard for him to find a rhythm during this series.
Exactly, and it's going to be hard for him to warm it up, go through all the motions on a one day off, and that's your one day off after playing, I don't know how many minutes he played, probably 38 plus, probably 35 plus. Anyways, it's one day rest is not going to heal a shoulder if that's what OKC fans are thinking. So let's get away from that. Let's talk about the defense. Even Lillard said that the Blazers got lucky tonight. They gave up way too many open threes. I mean, they gave Paul George, a guy who's really talented, a lot of good looks. And, I mean, he did have some bad looks. I mean, you and Harkless were locking him up at times. But there was points where PG got some good looks, and you just can't have that. If he's making shots, it's probably a different way. I mean, he hit a couple clutch shots down the line to put him within one. But you live with it. He didn't have a good night. He shot 15 threes, made 4 of them. You live with it. We're going to wrap up this pod, but let's give our game 2 predictions, and let's talk about it a little bit. What are your game 2 predictions, Sam?
Well, us being at home still and seeing the way PG shot, and like you said, only a day rest, I think that we come up on top. Cantor needs to play well again. And like you said, we need Zach and Myers to step up if Myers is getting those minutes.
Exactly. What's your thoughts on?
Yeah, I think we can pull out a game 2 win if we keep Paul George and Russ both under 30, and and we keep Cantor like low post threading, and getting him 15 rebounds would definitely secure a lot of help for Dame.
Yeah, and my prediction, I think if Paul George, if we limit him again to 25, 20 points, I mean, that's still a hefty amount. But if you limit him there and Russ does his antics somehow in the game, I think the Blazers win, and I think they go up 2-0, which is, if they go up 2-0 and they take one in OKC in 5, that's straight up. And that's bold, That's really bold to say because his team doesn't have their arguably their second best player. But if they win game two, I think they take one at OKC somehow. I think if they take the first one in OKC, wow.
Well, if we get game two, then we're going to be riding away for confidence, and I can definitely see us winning a game in OKC.
Yeah, exactly.
Limiting those two to under 60 is probably the biggest key to game two for us. That's really putting a lot of pressure on Adams to, you know, score close to 20 and their bench to, you know, produce. And what they show tonight is definitely not capable of putting up 30-plus points on us.
Exactly. And the guys like Dennis Schroeder, who seems like he was making a lot, only shot 5 of 17 from the field, 0 of 7 from 3. I mean, Jeremy Grant was non-existent. Terrence Ferguson was non-existent. There was a lot of guys. I mean, their bench scored, I think, 4 more points than ours. Our bench needs to show up if we want to do anything. If we want to do anything further, if we want to make this a short series, if we want to make it like a 5 or something like that. But one thing that you do take out of this game is it assures you another home game. Like me and Fulton were talking about. I mean, you assures you this game goes to 5. So it assures us 2 more home games after this. And if they win tomorrow night, it assures us game 6 at home. I mean, they'll have game 6 at OKC, but game 5 at home. So I think the Blazers win game 2. I think it's going to be a hell of a series. This Blazers team is special. They got players. They got depth. And I'm looking forward to it. So it's been a good recap. We're going to probably, I don't know if we're going to recap game 2. We might. We'll discuss it. But we're going to try to get out another pod soon. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at 503 Blazer Fans. Make sure to follow Sam at Sam Beyond Dat, DAT. And Fulton at Justin Fulton 7. And, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Peace out.
Yeah, peace out.